I've sacrificed 10 years of my life for this assignment. Trained physically, mentally, emotionally. I've given up food and sleep, suffered hour after hour under the relentless weight of the desert sun, lived in total isolation, relegated myself to demeaning tasks like playing chaperone while the stubborn, ignorant boy rebels against everything that matters. And now, he may have gotten us both killed. But it's my fault as much as his. Once again, I've called the wind too loudly. And once again, I've given us away. The northerly wind was too far beyond my reach to command with a whisper. I had to shout, which means my call is branded at the draft now. And it carries Vane's trace as well. There's no way the stormers won't check the cold wind coming from the warm valley. And when they investigate, they'll finally have their prize. The world starts to spin and I suck in a breath. I won't let it happen again. I can stall them, confuse their search, then I'll deal with Vane. He drives away in his white smog machine and my legs shake as I step from the shadows, scanning the street for the dark shape I know will be roosting on a roof nearby. I hold my left arm out and he swoops down, gripping the sleeve of my jacket with his talons. Gavin knows not to screech. Our role is to be invisible. It's Vane's fault we're exposed. He's lucky I went gentle on him. He has no idea who he's messing with. But he'll soon find out. I stroke the soft gray feathers around Gavin's neck, trying to calm the panic seizing my chest, making it hurt to breathe. "Go home, boy," I whisper. "I'll join you as soon as I can." Gavin's sharp red-orange eyes lock with mine, and I know he understands the command. Then he spreads his wings and, with a powerful flap, takes to the skies. I envy his easy flight. Mine requires significantly more effort. I retreat to the shadows, my fingers searching the air for an existing breeze to hide my trail. Nothing. I have to wait.